Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time that we have to study together. Thank you, Lord, for preserving our life to this time. And as we're about to open the Bible, we just ask for a blessing. We ask for your presence. We ask for your leading and guiding. And that as we open our word, the word, that you would open our hearts and minds to be receptive to it. And Lord, there is a very important message for each and every one of us this evening. May you convict our hearts, but more than that, may your Holy Spirit work conversion upon each and every one of us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that are just coming in, happy Sabbath again. Please share a praise for this past week. I'd love to hear from all of you. Let's turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 6. And we've studied the first 18 verses already. We are continuing in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's Matthew 6, 19 to 21. We're actually going to study all the way to the end of the chapter this evening. But it starts here in verse 19 about not laying up treasure on earth, but rather lay it up in heaven. Why? Because earth is temporary. Earth, it says, the moth, the rust, and the thief will get to it eventually. The moth, all those clothing, all those things that it can eat away, it will eat it. And guess what? Whatever the moth cannot eat, the rust will get to. All the metal stuff, right? The metal will get to it. The rust, rather. And then whatever the moth and the rust cannot get to, guess what? The thief will get to it. Everything on this earth that can be taken will be taken someday. And that's why is Jesus saying, look, don't lay up for yourself treasure on the earth. Where should we lay it up? In heaven. But then it says in verse 21, it makes this kind of like a conclusion. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So really, what is the issue about where we lay up treasure? It's to do with our heart. It's to do with our heart. The question is, where is your heart this evening? Where has your heart been this past week? Let me show you what the Bible thinks about our heart, or describes about our heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Let's turn the Bibles there. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You see, the Bible says there that the heart is desperately wicked. And the reason why we lay up treasure on earth is the condition of our heart. Not this one, but this one. And so friends, as I ask you, where is your heart this evening? When the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful above all things, the natural heart of man will focus on things of the earth. And so really, when I ask you, where is your heart this evening? Is your heart with God? Is it converted? Not just convicted, but is it converted? And so really, it is a matter of conversion. Because where the heart chooses to focus on, that is where we will lay up treasure. Whether it's on earth or whether it's in heaven, it is a condition of the heart. But let's continue. Verse 22. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, for those that are joining, happy Sabbath. Don't forget to write a praise, but even in the midst of that, don't forget to listen to the message as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, I hope you're turning along with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. So when it says in the beginning, lay your treasure not on earth but in heaven, then it refers next, what? To the eye. Because what is your eye looking at? If your eye is beholding earthly things, you will lay up things on earth. If your eye is looking at heavenly things, then your treasures will be in heaven. It's obvious what this means when it says in verse 22, if your eye is single. You know, first I started by looking at the concordance. What does single mean? We have two pairs of eyes. What does it mean, single? Well, I didn't really get much answer there. When I came back to the text here, and really, there is the comparison in verse 23. But if thine eye be what? Evil. So, you have evil eyes or righteous eyes. Do you see that? If your eye be single, meaning if your eye is focused on the right thing. If it is single to what? The glory of God. If you are focused on the right thing in what you look at, then you will store up treasures in heaven. But if your eye is evil, or your eyes be evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. You will do the works of darkness. You will store up treasure where? On earth. Friends, where you are putting your treasure is a matter of conversion, a matter of where your heart is. But really, the problem is really what we choose to look at, what we are looking at with our eyes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Look at what Jesus gives as a solution, a recommendation to a solution if we want to put our treasure in heaven and not on earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Friends, I want to give this little connection here this evening. If we are treasuring, putting our treasures upon earth, we are getting ready for the fires of hell. Do you see that? If we are putting our treasure on earth, it means that our eyes are beholding things that are of earth, and our whole body is full of darkness, because the heart is wicked. You see, friends? So, when it comes to the solution that we're seeing here, Jesus has said, what? Pluck out your eye. Cast it from you. Let's also go to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 9. We are looking at the eye here. The eye that if it beholds darkness, the whole body will be full of darkness. Jesus is giving the solution. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 9. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. It's almost exact wording of what we just read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. This is how important it is. Jesus is telling us, look, you can't keep focusing on the things of the world. What are your eyes beholding this evening? That's the question that I have for you. What are you looking at? What are you beholding throughout the week? Because whatever you look at, it is the avenue to your soul, and it will eventually change who you are. Your body will either be full of light, or your body will either be full of darkness. What are you looking at? It seems to indicate that the eyes are morality. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 23 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. What about the eyes? Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Your eyes should do what? Observe the ways of God. You should be focusing on Jesus. You should be watching Him. And it seems to indicate here that the heart is connected with observing the ways of God. With our what? Our eyes. If our heart is desperately wicked, because our heart is looking at earthly things. And we're not putting it into heavenly things. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. The issue is our heart. But what influences our heart? It is our eyes, what we choose to behold. And in Proverbs 23:26 it says, observe the ways of God. Give Him your heart. But let's continue. We're going to wrap this all up together at the very end. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Let's continue. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he makes it very clear. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What does that word mammon mean? It's riches. It's money. Yes, you cannot serve God and money at the same time. You cannot lay up treasure on earth and lay up treasure in heaven at the same time. Do you understand that? Riches change people. And if you are focused on the earth, storing up riches and treasures on the earth, then you are definitely not storing up treasures in heaven. You cannot have both. You will either hate the one and love the other, or love one and despise the other. You can't have both. And please, make sure you're not deceived this evening about that. We are going to look at this. How do we know if we are storing up treasures on earth as opposed to heaven? How do we know if we are serving mammon? How do we know if we have the master that is of the earth and not of heaven? Friends, what should we behold if you want to be full-time Christian? I think the answer is obvious. If we are to have the master that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what should we behold? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says this. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We have to behold Jesus if we want to fix our eyes on heavenly things instead of earthly. Do you understand that? We got to behold Jesus if we want to store up treasure in heaven. You can't have two masters. You're either chasing after money, you're either storing up riches on the earth, or you're storing up treasures in heaven. You cannot have both. But we've got to behold Him, or else we can never be changed. And so, how can we make sure that Jesus is our master? How can we make sure that we are storing up treasure in heaven and not on earth? Let's keep going. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3:20, the Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first thing, friends. How do you know if you are storing up treasures in heaven? Your conversation is more in heaven. It's more about heavenly things and not earthly things. You're not always thinking about earthly things. Like, do we have to work? Of course we do. Do we have to earn money? Of course we do. But where is our focus in all of this? Why do you do what you do? What is your motivation? What drives you every morning to get up? Is it that big house that you want to own one day? Or that nice new car that you want to purchase? Or that plan of just retiring early and just travel the world? Is that what motivates you to get up every day to work at your job or to earn money or to push you to study? What motivates you? Here in Philippians 3:20 it says that our conversation is where? In heaven. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But go back one verse just before it. It's in parenthesis. It started a verse before that even. But I'm just focusing on Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Look at the comparison it makes here in Philippians chapter 3 verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their what? Their belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind what? earthly things. And it just so happens in Philippians 2:5 it says, let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. Do you have an earthly mind? Or do you have a heavenly mind? What are the motivations that drive you to do what you do? What pushes you to do what you do? And where is your conversation? That word conversation can also be interpreted as what? Your behavior, your deportment of life. It's not just what you say, but even how you live it. That's why in Matthew 5 it says, if your eye beholds the darkness, your whole body will be what? Full of darkness. And so, what are your actions like? You can know if you are storing up heavenly treasure by looking at your life. By looking at how you speak. Yes, how you talk. Does it give glory to God? Or only to yourself? But look, we need to have balance. We got to earn money to survive and live. But it shouldn't be to the point that money becomes our God. That supplants the place of God Himself. How do we know if we've made money above God? Start by looking at your actions. Start by looking at your conversations. What are you always talking about? Where is your focus within your home, within your friends, amongst your colleagues or your students? You know, what are you always talking about? You can notice this from these things. But let's continue. We're going to get this answer at the very end there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore say I unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Stop thinking about what you're going to eat, and what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Stop focusing on those things. Life is more than just what your clothes and the food on the table. It is. It's more than that. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, probably one of the richest men that ever lived, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? O ye of little faith. Do you know why so many of us focus on earthly treasure and not heavenly treasure? It's because Jesus says, you have little faith. You don't have enough faith. You think that God is not going to take care of you, so you got to take care of yourself. Do you see that? Friends, how can we know that we are laying up treasure in heaven and not on earth? It's a faith issue. It's to do with our heart. It's got to do with our actions. It's got to do with true conversion. But how can we know we're truly converted? How can we know if we're laying up treasure in the right place? Therefore, verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the what? The Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look, it does not mean don't think about it at all. You don't have to think about your food, it's just going to appear. That's not what it's referring to. It's, what's the context? Don't think about it until it becomes your God. Do you see that? Stop thinking about your food until that's all you think about. And that's all that consumes you, because that's what the Gentiles do. That's all they think about. Their money, their food, their clothing, shopping, going out to eat, having a good time, some good entertainment. That's all the Gentiles do. And maybe you don't sin. Maybe you're still going to church, but you might not be laying up treasure in heaven. You might be laying treasure on earth because you're living exactly like a Gentile throughout the other 6 days, except you go to church. And look, church is good, but we can be traditional Christians. Just go to church week in and week out. That's what I do. When I was young, I went because it was a good habit. But the other 6 days, the other 6.5 days probably, I lived like a pagan. I lived like a Gentile, a person that didn't know God. They didn't seek God. They seek after a better life. Savings, investment, retire early, go on holiday, eat, drink, holidays, birthdays, Christmas, Easter, whatever. And they look forward to these days and they plan their holidays based upon long weekends, and that's all they're thinking about. Do you understand that? It's not that you shouldn't think about, what should I eat today? Make sure I eat healthy. What should I wear today? You don't just go, I'm going to choose my closet blindly. No. But not to the point that it consumes you. And that's what we need to be careful of, friends. That all we think about money and nothing else, God is not in our hearts and in our thoughts, and we're not beholding Him. Friends, how busy have you been during the MCO, the lockdown? Maybe some of us, we've been more busy. But then that busyness maybe is offset by not having to sit through traffic, get up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, be out of the house by 6:30. But have you drawn closer to God? Or even in this MCO time, even though when you can't go to the pub or the bars or go out, have a fun, jolly time with your friends, maybe you're still laying up treasure on earth. How? Because God has not been in your thoughts. Jesus says, don't take thought about what you're going to do tomorrow. You've got to live in the present. Because then it says in Matthew 6:33, famous text, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How do you know if you are laying up treasure on earth or in heaven? Has the pursuits of life, even though it might not be sinful, you're still going to church on the Sabbath? Or maybe you're not. But maybe you are, but the other 6 days, all you're focused on is my life, my job, my money, my savings, my health, my exercise, everything. But you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Do you see that? It's possible to not sin in a sense. It's possible to be a good citizen of this earth and not steal and not kill. Too many of us were too scared to kill. We'd never do it. Even in our unconverted state, we wouldn't do it. But Jesus says that the problem with laying up treasure on earth is because of our heart. Because what we're beholding. And our eyes are beholding what? New things. New gadgets. New toys. A better life. A better house. A better car. A better boyfriend. A better girlfriend. Better food. More organic. Whatever it is. And we strive to be better and healthier. But in the process of that, even though we're not stealing, we're doing an honest day's work, we're paying for the food that we eat and the food that we put on our tables, we're paying for our loans for our houses and our cars, we're doing things honestly, but we forget God in the midst of all of it. We don't have time for Him, even though we still go to church. Do you understand that? Jesus says, stop thinking about tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. But seek first today the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. How? Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. We looked at it last week. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I think if we prayed this part of that prayer every day, we would live very differently. I think if we prayed this part of the prayer every day, we would never skip our time with God in the morning. Because His will for us is sanctification. And we are sanctified by the truth. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, John 17:17. We would be spending time seeking God first every day if we were truly asking for His will to be done. If we prayed this part of the prayer every day, we would pray every day. If we prayed this part of the prayer every day, we would only have one God in our lives. That would be our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. We would not make mammon our God. We would not be storing up treasures on earth. We would not be focused on things of the earth. Our hearts and our bodies would not be dark. But the light of God's Word, Psalms 119, 105, would shine into our light, and we would live very differently. We would speak very differently. Do you see that? Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If you really wanted to be righteous, if you really wanted to find the kingdom of God, you can. You just got to seek. As hard as you seek for earthly treasure, you will find Jesus. You will live a righteous life. Your conversation will be different. Your deportment of life will be different. You will begin to store up treasure in heaven. The answer is simple, friends. Many of us were too focused on worldly or earthly things. And maybe the MCO has forced some of us to slow down. Stop focusing so much on all these things. Maybe some of you, you're hurt for finance. This is the time to claim that promise, friends. Don't think about tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God today. Yes. And maybe you're sitting there going, how is studying my Bible and reading my Bible today going to help me for tomorrow? Oh, there are 1,000 ways in which God can change your heart. Don't even get me started in giving you solutions to how God can change us. How He rained manna from heaven, but how He might need to change your heart first. Do you see that? But friends, it's our eyes, it's our mind that needs converting today. That's what needs to change. Too many of us, we skip our devotions and our walk with God and our time with the Lord, and it becomes non-essential because we've been busy. And the reason is because our eyes are focused on the wrong things. We are laying up treasure on earth and not in heaven. Even though you might be a good moral citizen of earth. Morality on earth, good ethics on earth is not going to get you to heaven. The righteousness of Christ alone will get you there, friends. And so I ask this question again, who is your God? How do you know if money is your God or if Jesus Christ is your God? We've already given some clues already. Are you seeking first the kingdom of heaven? But I want to show you a text in Exodus. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 7. The background of this story is simple. God is trying to call Moses to lead the children of Israel out. And he's speaking to him from the burning bush. And Moses is making all these excuses. And he's saying, God, I can't speak Egyptian anymore. I've been gone 40 years. God says, okay, I've made your mouth. Don't worry about it. Oh, they won't listen to me. What should I tell them? Who told me to go? Say, I am that I am. But what if they don't believe? Okay, you know, what's in your head? A rod, throw it down, it'll become a snake. And then, you know, take out your hand, it becomes leprosy. And then put it back in, it's clean again. God gives all the signs. And at the end of it, Moses still declares, God, please choose somebody else. He doesn't say it like that. He says, send the man that you want to send. So we pick it up here in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Who is your God? The Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be what? Thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron, thy brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. So, God is saying, Moses, I'm going to make you like God to your brother. He's going to be the prophet. And he's going to be all the communication and everything. You know the rod? It was Aaron that threw the rod down. That rod eventually became Aaron's rod. But God didn't want that. He wanted Moses to do everything that Aaron did and more. Moses, do this. He would do it. But now it's Moses, do this. And Aaron, Moses would speak to Aaron. Oh, God told me that you got to do this. It was an unnecessary step. So he gives this illustration. He still chooses Moses. He was of the most men, most meek on the earth. He was a good man. He's in heaven today. But it was an unnecessary step that God needed to take with Moses. Okay? Moses was to Aaron like God, and Aaron would be the prophet. Now, who is your God? Your God tells you what to say, and you say it. Your God tells you what to do, and you do it. Who is your God? You do whatever they want you to do. Your boss tells you to come to work on Sabbath, and you go. You've put that person above God. You've listened to that person above God. He is your God. Your wife tells you to do this on the Sabbath, and you do it. Your wife just became God to you because God says, don't do any work, and now she's telling you to do it. That is your God. Your lecturer, your school tells you that you've got to come in and sit an exam this coming Sabbath, and you go, and guess what? Your school is your God. Your God is whoever you listen to above what God says. Now, your wife tells you to go to throw the trash. I hope you go throw the trash. Amen? Yeah. She's not your God. She's your wife. You should do it. Alright? But whoever is your God is what you listen to above God. If you're saying Jesus is your God, the Father in heaven is your God, then you should do everything that He tells you to do. You should say everything He tells you to say. He tells you to go here, you should go there. He tells you to do this, you should do that. But if someone else's word comes contrary to what God says, then, and you listen to that person becomes your God. And many people are listening to the dictates of money, mammon. Money says, you got to do this. You got to wake up at this time, go into work and work this many hours, and then you come back, and then I will pay you a good amount. And you do it. And you tell Jesus, I'm sorry, I love you, I have no time for you, but you know my heart is with you throughout the day, but you understand, God. I'll be there at church this Sabbath, I promise. I'll pay my tithe. But you don't have time for Him throughout the week. And Jesus says, stop seeking after all these things like the Gentiles do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Stop chasing after money. Stop making money tell you what you have to do. I have to live here. I have to be here. If not, I can't go to work. I can't earn money. I have to do this. If not, I'm not going to be able to retire in time. I have to do this. If not, I can't support my kids' fees. I can't support my lifestyle. And so money begins to dictate what you should do rather than Jesus and His word. Friends, what is the fruit of a person who is seeking first the kingdom of God? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. It's in the Beatitudes. It's in the Beatitudes. And that Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Rather, not Beatitudes, but the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friends, if we want to enter into heaven and we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we will not have the righteousness of the Pharisees. And we studied this before. I'm sorry, I can't rehash that whole lesson of what it means to have the righteousness of the Pharisees. But also one other thing, Matthew 5:16. If your body is full of light rather than darkness, because your eyes are looking at light and not darkness, then in Matthew 5:16 will be your lifestyle. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Guess what? The righteous life is bringing people to the foot of the cross. Other people will see your good works and they will glorify God in heaven. Friends, when is the last time you've brought someone to Jesus? When's the last time someone got baptized because of you? Have you ever been instrumental in one person's salvation? It is not the work of the minister. It is not the work of the Bible worker. It is the work of every Christian. If we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, what we drive, what we live in, whatever it is that has to do with earthly things, are secondary. What becomes first? The glory of God and His righteousness. And then when people see you, they will be converted to Jesus Christ. Friends, maybe some of you have been focusing on earthly things too much. Some of us were focused on earthly treasure too much. And you might be a good moral person, but it's never good enough. Our righteousness is like filthy rags, friends. We need to seek for the righteousness that only Jesus can offer. And if we are not seeking for it throughout the week, our Sabbath becomes in vain. Why? Because we come to church with our earthly minds. We can't understand sometimes the spiritual things. And our conversations, even at church, become earthly, about business, about money. Friends, there's nothing wrong to talk about your week, but our conversation must needs be in heaven. And it needs to be heavenly throughout the week as well. And so, friends, as we've come to another Sabbath day, we've come to rest. Think about your life. Consider the path that your life is taking. Is it trending heavenward? Or is it going towards the earth? You can't have both. You can't have heaven and earth at the same time. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't have both. Friends, if you've been neglecting your walk with Jesus, it's because you've been focused on earthly treasure. Seek first the kingdom of God. This evening, when you get off, don't just go, God, I'm sorry, let me read your Bible. I'm going to read your Bible now. It's not enough. You've got to ask God to change your heart first. You've got to pray a prayer of repentance. You've got to ask God to open your eyes to see the light and not the darkness. You got to ask God to help you to change that heart. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. It's not just go, okay, I'm just going to read the Bible. No. He needs to perform an operation on our heart. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Friends, that's what we've got to pray for first. And that's what we've got to pray for every day. Moment by moment. Hour by hour. Day by day. We've got to learn to walk with Jesus and allow Him to transform our hearts. It's not just a one-off thing. So what if you go back and read your Bible this evening? You've got to do it every day. Sanctification is a work of a lifetime. We've got to do it every day. Otherwise, we'll go back to our old sins and our old life. So friends, please, pray that prayer. God, give me a new heart. A new heart. Please, put it within me this evening. That is my prayer for myself, for every one of you. God, take my heart, for I cannot give it. Keep it pure for me, for I cannot keep it pure for Thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchrist-like self. May God help each and every one of us. Help us to experience true conversion this day. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we need Jesus. Without Him, we can do nothing. Any step we try to take towards heaven will be futile unless Jesus strengthens us, unless He guides us, unless He covers us with His robe of righteousness. So, Father, this evening, many of us, we've been negligent of spending time with You. And whatever excuses we may seemingly have, from this MCO getting us depressed, from us being so busy from work or studies, whatever reasons we might have, Lord, please sweep that aside and help us to see so clearly that that's not the real reason. The reason is, Lord, we don't love You enough. And so, Lord, I ask for a new heart, a heart of flesh. Take out the heart of stone, Lord. And I pray that You'd help us to delight in Your word. The carnal mind cannot. We despise Your word. But Father, please, You've got to work that operation upon our hearts this evening. Help us to repent. Help us to confess of our sins. And Lord, please, do the rest for us. Save us by Your grace, Lord. And help us to be transformed into Your image. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.